Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord was the Father of the Word before the beginning of his work, before the first of his acts of old. Ages ago he was established, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, he was begotten. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, he was begotten. Before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. When God established the heavens, the Word was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked the foundations of the earth, then the Word was beside him, like a master workman. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God saw everything that he had made, all things made through the Word, and behold, it was very good. And the Word was daily God's delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. But the children of man did not delight in the word of God. Man listened to the voice of a serpent rather than the word of the Lord, violated God's holy commandment, and with the first sin, behold, things were no longer very good. The creation had become very evil. So God spoke his word to his creatures, a word of rebuke. "What is this you have done?" A word of curse. "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Word of the law. The law which was no longer a source of delight for the children of man, as it had been, but now a source of accusation, a source of terror, a source of death. But after that disobedience, God also spoke a different word, a word of promise, a word of comfort, a word of life, the gospel. He spoke this word to those creatures who had fallen. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." But as the children of man awaited fulfillment of this word of promise, of comfort, of life, they continued to labor under God's word of law, a word spoken in thunder and with flashes of lightning, a word accompanied by the sound of a trumpet and smoke on Mount Sinai, a word that was now so fearful because of their sin that people trembled and stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." In such fearful glory and might, God spoke his word. A word that was so fearful and glorious that even Moses himself, the chosen prophet of God, was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And so it went, centuries upon centuries. God said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." The most holy place, erected by Moses, was shielded from the sight of all Israel. And only one man, the high priest, could enter, and he only once a year, after making atonement for his own transgressions. Otherwise, even when the nation moved, the veil covered the Ark of the Covenant, lest anyone see its glory. The children of Israel couldn't even bear the sight of Moses' face that reflected God's glory, and so he had to veil his own face after speaking with God. The great men of faith of old, Jacob, Gideon, Manoah, Isaiah, and many more, were filled with fear when they thought that they had seen the glory of God. Come and see has been the theme of our Advent midweeks and meditations, but had you invited one of God's people of old to do that, they would have likely understood that to be a death sentence. But despite the terrifying sights and sounds of the word of law, that word was called by God his strange work, his alien work. In other words, that law which accuses sinners was not God's final word toward man. For in the fullness of time, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The gospel, the word of promise, of comfort, of life, which was spoken long ago to the first sinners and proclaimed each and every day to sinners who followed after them, was in God's perfect time fulfilled. And it was the Word of God, who is God himself, who fulfilled that promise. For the angel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary and spoke God's word into her womb. On that blessed day, 9 months before, the Word became the offspring of woman. The Word became flesh, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle of our human flesh and blood. And so today, 9 months later, the glory of the Lord was revealed, shown among the children of man. But this time not in thunder and lightning, not in trumpets and in smoke, but rather wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The glory of the Word became flesh was not hidden and inaccessible, not like it was for Moses and Israel, but now the glory of that little child, Mary's little baby boy Jesus, was present in such a way that it was visible to all creation. Even the ox and the donkey knew their master's crib. And as for the children of man, they were invited by the word preached by the angels and written by the prophets of old to come and see. And so they did. The shepherds went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Wise men from the east fell down and worshipped the child Jesus in Bethlehem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that little baby lying in the manger, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That little boy, he is the Word of God. He is the glory of God. Now among the children of man, in the way that even the poorest, most miserable sinner can come and see. The true light, which gives light to everyone, came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. The Word came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. It was not that they were unable to receive him, as it had been on Mount Sinai, and in the tabernacle, and in the vision of angels, but rather it was that they were unwilling to receive him, that they rejected him. For the Word long promised came in humility, came in that most accessible and visible way imaginable, as a little baby. And yet his creatures did not recognize him. They did not welcome him. They did not want him. They shut their ears to him that Christmas night. They took offense at him, knowing that he was from Nazareth, the carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph, with brothers and sisters that they knew. They kicked him out of their synagogues. They mocked him. They argued with him. And in the end, they lifted up their voices against the Word, calling for his crucifixion. God spoke his word of promise, of comfort, of life to sinners while in their same flesh and blood, and sinners turned away from him. They closed their eyes to him. They plugged their ears. But even with this rejection, they couldn't overcome the word of God. For by their rejection came their salvation. By his crucifixion, the ancient promise was kept. The nails, thorns, and spear were driven into the Word made flesh, and with his death, the Word drew a crushing blow to the head of the devil. And then, in the blessed announcement, "He is not here, he is risen indeed," the Word proclaimed his victory over sin and death. And he called the children of man out of bondage to sin to come and see. To come, see the place where they had laid his body. To come and see the linen cloths that were lying there neatly folded in the tomb. To come and see his hands and his side, once pierced by nails and spear. To come and to believe, yes, even without seeing, that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. In the end, the Word spoke, and this Word was a triumph, a word of forgiveness, a word of love. The Word made flesh still speaks among us today. He still dwells among us today. He still today calls us to come and see. And still today we see his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Still today we hear him and see him, but not as the Israelites did long ago, not in thunder and lightning, not in trumpets and smoke, not in unapproachable light behind a veil that no sinner can pass. No, rather, we hear him and see him in that which is approachable, visible, receivable, in written words, in spoken words, sung words, water, bread, and wine. The Word made flesh is still present in his world today. Many still do not receive him. Many are still unwilling to come and see this Word who made them and yet more wondrously redeemed them. But to all who do receive him, he, the Word made flesh, the baby lying in the manger, the crucified and risen Lord, to all the children of man who do receive him, who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. To those who believe in him who is the Son of God by nature, Jesus gives the right to become what he is by adoption through grace. Jesus, the only Son from the Father, became flesh in order to make you his Father's children, to make you his brothers and sisters, to make you co-heirs of the kingdom of heaven, to give you a new birth. For when the goodness and loving kindness of our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. Baptism is the word by which Christ declares us to be children of God. Baptism is the means by which we come and see Jesus and receive him and the fullness of his grace upon grace. And the Lord's Supper is the means by which we come and see Jesus and receive his body and blood and are strengthened in that grace. He who dwells in you through holy baptism and gave you all that is his by grace comes to you still in this sacrament, comes to you to give you his life, his forgiveness, his mercy. Today he comes to give you that same body that was carried in the womb of his mother Mary, that same body that was born and wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. He comes to give you that same blood that was shed on the cross as the once and for all payment for your sins. For here, the eternal Word of God, the glory of the Lord, is before you to be held in your hands and to be received into your mouths. So come and see. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. From heaven to womb, from womb to manger, from manger to cross, from cross to tomb, from tomb to the Father's right hand, to you, even today, under Word, water, bread, and wine. Here is the Word of God. Here is the Word made flesh. Come and see, O children of man, now become children of God. Or maybe better said on Christmas morn, come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.